Often, you'll have brochures, information packets, PowerPoint decks, or other materials for them to review. However, frequently, people pay little attention to those once they can watch and listen to a live person. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing world changers in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces. If you like what you hear on this episode, you're going to want to check out the bonus mini episode you can access if you become a member of my coffee club. If you do, you'll get access to bonus episodes, new art, new writing, and other fun benefits at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT. See the show notes for more details. And now, let's get on with the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Super grateful that you're here. I wanted to let you know something that I'm doing that's a little new. One of the things that you're going to start hearing me talk about on these episodes is that there's bonus content. If you join my Coffee by the Water Club at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT, you're going to get access to bonus episodes. You're going to get access to art no one else ever sees, music no one else ever hears, and early access to my writing, depending on what part of the club you decide you want to join. I wanted to let you know that that's happening because it's happening now. I've already started doing it, and I'm having these wonderful little chats with my guests after the formal episode is done, and they're incredibly informative and delightful, and I think you will love them. You're going to get all sorts of nuggets of wisdom and advice in addition to the original episode. So it's pretty cool, and I'm very excited about it. And you might also see me give bonus episodes, like is about to happen with, I think it's tomorrow even, is when you're going to be able to hear the bonus episode because, or maybe it already happened now that I think about it. Anyway, because I completely didn't see a note that I needed to add something and finish the episode, got it all ready to go, and then went, oh no, I forgot to add something really important. And so now that's the bonus episode. So that's going to be happening more and more because I think that it's important to give as much as I possibly can. Again, you can find that at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT. If you join the Coffee by the Water Club, you can join as a brook, as a lake, or as the ocean. All righty, cool. Here we go. This week's Speak From Within chapter is chapter 18, When They're With You and How to Get Them There. Certainly, if you know how to give your audience what they want, you've gone a long way to having them in your corner. Sometimes, though, you're asked to speak in situations where you haven't had the chance to do all that research. Has this ever happened to you? Have you been at a wedding or a party and had someone ask you to make a toast or speech? Daunting? It can be, especially during a raucous party. But I'll tell you what, a raucous party's got nothing on a pitch to a bunch of venture capitalists or a review board. Those are the big leagues. And if you need to speak to a bunch of people like that, you need to know, be, and do more. You need to get to the point where you are dynamic enough, where you speak from such an authentic and engaging place that people can't resist looking at you and listening to you. This works in every arena. It works if you're a teacher with a class of 7-year-olds. It works if you're a doctor talking with a patient about the following day's surgery. And it works if you're a manager training new employees or letting them go. If you communicate from a place of authenticity, from your gut, your audience will know it. They will know it and they will respond to it. And that, my friend, is the most important thing. If you're not getting that response, you might as well be standing in the middle of a forest trying to convince a tree to come with you. It's not going to happen. Trees tend to stay where they are. And if you're trying to convince a tree otherwise, you're on a fool's errand. But when you see them nod their heads, you know you're on the right track. When they smile, you're well on your way. And when they ask questions or blurt out answers or comments, you know they're with you. And I see that sort of interaction, the blurting of comments and answers and the development of a group discussion, as a net positive. I want my audience thinking and asking questions. I want them discussing what we're talking about. I'm delighted when they talk amongst themselves because I know that in seconds, I can get their attention right back on me and my message. That's because I design my talks to spark curiosity and wonder. And once my audience members are curious, then we can really blast off into new ideas, ways of thinking, and viewing the world. They're active in this exploration, and I am their tour guide. It gets no better than that. But I don't leave that connection to chance. I work behind the scenes to make it happen. My personal challenge. Before any presentation, I set myself a challenge. I study the people in the audience. I determine which of them least wants to be there. I know that that unwillingness isn't a reflection on me. Sometimes the work I do with companies is mandatory. In that kind of audience, people tend to feel that either they already know what they need to know, or they have deadlines to meet and the event is a waste of their time. If someone walks in and their energy tells me they don't want to be there, I make it my business to make sure that by the end, they won't want to leave. Don't get me wrong, I don't shortchange the people who are all in, but I want everyone to see the transformation in the reluctant folks. If they're vocal in their reluctance at the beginning, I might even nudge them a little and ask them to comment on their about face toward the end. I want all of us to know how a simple talk can change lives. And if they see that during my presentation, they will be more likely to believe it can happen when they present. Opportunity to help. The opportunity to help people learn thrills me. When they get it and I see the light go on or I hear the questions they form because of our discussion, I feel so proud of them. That might be part of the connection we make. It's possible that my enthusiasm for presenting is what's sparking people's interest. But I have a feeling it's more than that. I believe we're all curious beings. Many of us put our curiosity aside so that we can get our daily work done. And yet that curiosity about ourselves, each other, and the content makes it easier to connect. So our mission as communicators is to discover what sparks the audience's curiosity. Then we must ignite it. It also helps if we figure out what they want and then focus our talk on those exact themes. And I don't mean that you should talk exactly about their desire. So, I hear you all want a promotion, or I understand you're all looking to get married. I mean that you should address your subject through the lens of their desires. Nothing perks up our ears like hearing about how we might get something we want. This is another instance where doing your research is absolutely necessary. If you're addressing a group of sales reps, you might look into the problems they face as they do their jobs. What would they most like to address? And how can your presentation alleviate some of those issues? For example, if their customers are leaving their brick-and-mortar locations to do business online, a presentation that focuses on providing a personalized and customized touch would be more effective than one that focuses on all the things that the internet can do for us. On the other hand, if these are people who work mainly online, then you want to look at how the internet can help them thrive. Tailor what you say and how you say it to what they most need to hear, and you will be golden. If you can work on their problems and desires as part of your communication with them, if you focused your presentation on building trust, you'll go a long way towards helping them engage with you. The same goes for your interactions and interviews. If you're applying for a job, they're going to ask you all sorts of questions about your experience and your background. You can expect that. However, you can tailor your answers to address what your potential bosses most need to be done. Remember, we are all in the business of solving other people's problems. So if you know that what they most need is a creative thinker who can operate outside any box, you will answer those questions from that perspective and through that lens. I hope this makes sense because we can no longer afford to tell clients only what we know how to do. We must communicate to them that what we know will benefit them. Again, I'm not saying you should ever lie. If you can refocus what you communicate through the lens of what they most need, you won't have to lie. You will be telling the whole truth only through a specific filter. And since this filter addresses what they need, it'll be to everyone's benefit. Staying present, physically, mentally, and vocally. In any of these situations, remember to keep your voice resonant. Keep your breathing deep and slow, even if you're excited. Let other clues show your excitement. Lean forward, widen your eyes, and let your body language communicate your enthusiasm. Regardless of how excited you are on the outside, stay calm and alert on the inside. Your calm yet alert status will keep your voice from rising and from sounding strained, reedy, or thin. It may sound contradictory, but you can be calm and excited. There's a difference between excited and nervous. The former is ebullient, the latter is anxious. Ebullience will heighten the energy in the space. The anxiety will darken it. Whether you're presenting to a group, going on an interview, or speaking to a packed house, you can apply the above techniques in any speaking situation. They work particularly well when you're presenting to groups or facilitating any sort of workshop. Often, you'll have brochures, information packets, PowerPoint decks, or other materials for them to review. However, frequently, people pay little attention to those once they can watch and listen to a live person. Regardless of the information you're presenting, your audience will want to hear and see you more than they pay attention to any of those supplemental items. After all, you're live and in person. That beats paper or a PowerPoint deck any day of the week. In this way, you're the star of the show, regardless of the information you want to convey. Some of the workshops I facilitate have no visual aids. They work better if I don't use them. Sometimes I do need to use them, and I'm happy to do it if the need arises. But again, don't use them as a crutch. Use them as a supplement, as the icing on top of a delicious cake. You might be asking yourself, but what about if you have a whole bunch of data to show? And what if the data isn't the most exciting in the world? These are excellent questions. Here are some things to ask yourself as you develop your talk and presentation. What about the data is compelling? What story does it tell? How can you make that story relevant to the people listening? What message do you want them to hear? Let's say you're standing in front of a lot of people to talk about the rainfall numbers in the Pacific Northwest of the USA. On the surface, it might not seem like a scintillating topic until you think about the data in a different way. Idaho, Washington, and Colorado all grow the bulk of potatoes in the USA, and we all know what that means. People like me need potatoes badly. We need them because we need French fries. And if we don't have appropriate rainfall to grow lots of potatoes, the French fry eaters might be brokenhearted. So if I had to talk about rainfall in the Pacific Northwest, my first words wouldn't be, "I'm here to talk to you about rainfall in Idaho." My first words would be, "Who here likes French fries?" I guarantee a lot of hands will go up, and then you've got them. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the audiobook of Speak From Within. One of the things that I didn't mention earlier is that these episodes will leave the podcast once I have read all of the chapters. And we're getting close. This is chapter 18 this week. And then I just really have chapter 19 and 20. And then the book is done. And the reason I'm saying that is that right now you can listen to each episode on the show totally for free. Just start an order, start at the beginning, go in order, and you're good to go. However, once I finish the book, I'm going to be stripping these episodes into the audiobook, and the audiobook is only going to be available on my website, isoldat.com. So I want to let you know that it's not a forever thing, this set of audio podcasts. It's going to be an audiobook, and it's going to be only available on my website. So I want you to know now that if you want to listen to it all for free, then hit the podcast up and listen to everything. After this is done, it's going to get, after the book is done, it's going to get put right onto the website, and these episodes are probably going to be going away unless you convince me otherwise. And likely it's going to be one of those things where if you are a member of my Coffee by the Water Club, you will have access to all of the audio files ad nauseum, right? Forever and ever, ad infinitum, I guess you should say, not ad nauseum. You will have access to these forever and ever if you join the Coffee by the Water Club, but you won't have access to these on the podcast anywhere after the book is done. So I hope you enjoyed it. I would love it if you would join the Coffee by the Ocean Club and support the show and support the other artistic, creative, and activist endeavors that I have going on and the upcoming Creative Earthlings. I'm so excited about this. It's going to be so cool. I can't wait to share all of that with you. That's going to be happening probably this summer. There's a lot to do before then, but I'm super, super, super excited about it and can't wait to share about that. Until next time, though, please remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.